KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, we'll continue our election coverage with focus on Proposition 2, Standards for Confining Farm Animals. It would prevent the present practice of cramming farm animals into cages so small that the animals can't extend their limbs. And we'll hear from both sides. Forum is next with your calls and emails after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum. The most expensive ballot proposition fight in California for the November election, close to $10 million in overall campaign spending, is over Proposition 2, which is all about setting standards for the confinement of farm animals. The proposition would mandate, effective by 2015, enough room for breeding pigs, calves raised for veal, and egg-laying hens to lie down, stand, turn around, and fully extend their limbs. The proposition would mainly affect egg producers, since California is the nation's fifth largest egg producer. And in this opening forum hour, we want to hear from both sides on Proposition 2. And joining us from Sacramento is Jennifer Fearing, who is campaign manager for Yes on 2 campaign. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Glad to have you with us. Also glad to have Julie Buckner, who is spokeswoman for Californians for Safe Food, which is the No on Proposition 2 campaign. And she's joining us from Los Angeles. And welcome, Julie Buckner.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Let's begin with the pro side, Jennifer Fearing. This is certainly, from all of the literature that your campaign has put out, been tied to animal welfare and animal cruelty, and yet the initiative, originally called, I believe, the Animal Prevention of Farm Cruelty Act, has been changed to the Standards for Confining Farm Animals Initiative. Why the name change?
Well, Michael, first I want to start by thanking you for devoting so much time to what is one of the most popular measures on this November's ballot, and I'm very proud to work for the Humane Society of the United States as we lead this effort. Voting yes on Prop 2 is going to put an end to the cruel and inhumane treatment of animals that by ending the practice of cramming them into cages so small that the animals can't even turn around, lie down, or extend their limbs.
Excuse me, I just said that. What I'd like to ask you is directly, why the name change?
The name change is because this is about the housing of animals, and this housing and confinement of veal calves, breeding pigs, and egg-laying hens is about keeping them in tiny cages barely larger than their bodies. So calves, for example, are tethered by the neck and can barely move. Pigs are kept in severe confinement. They often bite the metal bars of their crates. And hens get trapped and even impaled in their wire cages. You know, this form of extreme confinement really has turned animal husbandry into animal abuse. And voting yes on Prop 2 is the right thing to do.
Well, the Pew Commission on Industrial Farm Animal Protection, that included Secretary of Agriculture Dan Glickman as well as Kansas Governor John Carlin, who chaired this, said this is a modest reform as far as being humane to animals. But we presently have similar rules that are operating in Florida and Oregon and Arizona and Colorado and and in the European Union. And this shift, again, would not take place until the year 2015. How has this operating, well, for example, in places like Florida or the EU?
We've seen absolutely no negative impact. And what's more, we have seen the passage of these initiatives and these popular reforms in other states lead to national reforms. Only a few months after a landslide election in Arizona, where we passed a measure that would outlaw two of the three confinement systems that are at stake with Prop 2, the crating of veal calves and the crating as well of pregnant pigs. When we passed that, in Arizona, within 3 months, we had the leaders of the national industries both commit to a voluntary phase-out of these practices, condemning these systems as archaic and inhumane. That's what we expect to see happen in the egg industry after Californians support Prop 2.
You also are saying that there will be environmental protection, that the 500 million tons of manure factory farms will provide less waste, and that means less greenhouse gases and perhaps less spread of disease, as you see it?
That's right. You mentioned the Pew Commission, and they talked at length in their recent study about the kinds of practices at stake here with Prop 2 have produced an expanding array of horrible environmental effects that are bad for our water, our air, our soil resources. And in fact, we're working now with some Central Valley neighbors of one of the opponents to Prop 2. These neighbors are suffering devastating impacts on their health and quality of life because of the ammonia emissions.
This is largely asthma, I believe, isn't it?
Yes, and we know that reducing the number, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of animals on a single footprint, reducing these numbers will, in fact, reduce the environmental impact. That's why Sierra Club and Clean Water Action are endorsing Prop 2.
And what about the argument that when you have animals closely packed together, there's a greater chance for pathogens? In other words, more salmonella and crowded cages, that sort of thing?
That's absolutely true, and more science is coming out every day that shows that shifting production to modern indoor cage-free systems is a step towards reducing the risk of salmonella, and that's because these scientific studies really confirm what common sense already knows, that packing all of these animals in tightly does increase the likelihood of transmitting diseases like salmonella, and voting yes on Prop 2 will move us away from these horrible systems.
Jennifer Fearing, again, is with us from Sacramento and is campaign manager of Yes on 2, and Julie Buckner is a spokeswoman for No on Proposition 2, Californians for Safe Food. Well, we just heard about salmonella, Julie Buckner. How does voting against Prop 2 make things safer?
Well, it's actually, what is the truth is the opposite of what Jennifer has said. It may seem like common sense to people who don't spend a lot of time on farms, and most of us don't. But the fact of the matter is, and all of the science shows, that keeping birds in the modern housing systems off the floor actually reduces the risk of salmonella and the spread of other very dangerous pathogens, not only among the chickens, but importantly, to the people, to the consumers who actually purchase and then consume the eggs that these egg-laying hens produce. So while Jennifer has named certain scientists, the fact of the matter is that the majority of the science shows and history shows that when egg-laying hens come off the floor, they're no longer in contact with their own feces, which is where the salmonella happens to hang out, and therefore the eggs are not laid in the feces. And the waste product of these hens, which they, we all produce, and therefore there's not as much of a risk of salmonella. So Proposition 2 is really an unsafe food initiative, plain and simple.
What do you say to the argument, though, that Proposition 2 is more humane as far as animal welfare is concerned?
You know, I visited a number of these farms from Petaluma all the way down to Valley Center, which is in eastern San Diego County. I've spent a lot of time learning about these modern housing systems, and I feel very comfortable that these hens are being raised humanely in a clean and sanitary environment. And I have seen with my own two eyes and my own experience and my own ears, listened and watched and seen what's going on in these farms. And I have a lot of confidence, and I'm very comfortable that the majority of these egg farmers, hardworking egg farmers up and down the state of California, are raising these animals humanely and in safe and clean and sanitary environments.
Well, your opposition is also based on the notion that new standards would mean greater costs to egg producers, and those costs would be delivered to the consumer, as I understand it, but also it would mean perhaps a great deal of importing of eggs, not only importing like from Mexico, but eggs coming from out of state where the production is not necessarily going to change in terms of what's done there.
Well, that's exactly right, Michael. Thank you for mentioning that. Because Proposition 2 bans the current system for housing animals, and by the way, most of our cage-free farmers, including two very big producers in the Bay Area and Petaluma, who probably serve all of your listeners with egg products, cage-free, have said they will go out of business, that Proposition 2 is so onerous, so extreme, that it will cause cage-free operations in the Bay Area, in Petaluma, to go out of business. And what will happen is the competition is essentially coming in from out of state, places like Iowa, and frankly over the border in Mexico, where it's just going to be a lot less expensive to produce these eggs and do not have the same sanitary and egg quality assurances that we have in California. California happens to have the strictest egg quality standards in the nation. And while we ban these housing systems in California, it doesn't do anything for Iowa or Mexico. And so consumers are just going to be purchasing eggs laid in the same environment that Proposition 2 seeks to ban.
The egg industry is, of course, spending a lot in opposition to this. But they're also saying, and you're saying, that this is going to hurt workers. How so?
Yeah, and it will hurt workers because people, it requires a lot of workers to produce the number of eggs that we consume. You're right, Michael, in the intro, you mentioned that California is the fifth largest egg producer, but we are the largest consumers of eggs here in California, in the nation. It takes a lot of people to produce this many eggs and provide them to the consumers. So we have significant support on the No on Prop 2 side from organized labor, members of California working families. It's going to wipe out their jobs at a time in California where, people are really having a hard time. They're suffering. There's job loss and there's high gas prices and grocery prices are through the roof. The cost of health care. This is just not the right time for an initiative that's going to raise the price of eggs, which is the most basic and affordable protein source for California working families.
Tilly Buckner, again, is spokesperson for Californians for Safe Food, No on Proposition 2. Jennifer Fearing, I'd like to hear your response to some of the arguments we've heard from Julie Buckner.
Thank you.
And first off, let's start with egg production. If it's just going to be imported, if eggs are just going to be coming in from different states that use the same kind of factory farming or from Mexico, what will this really do except maybe put some workers out of work, as she suggested?
Well, let's be clear. We have confidence because the history has shown that California farmers are innovative and adaptive people. We know that we can do better, and many family farmers in California already know that allowing animals the ability to move is good for the animals and, frankly, good for their business. But, nothing really puts the lie to what Ms. Buckner is claiming about out-of-state production better than their own funding. A couple weeks ago, literally overnight, more than $5 million showed up in their coffers, nearly all from out-of-state egg farmers. And to me, as an economist, that really begged the question that if passing Prop 2 is really going to have the impact that the opponents claim, then wouldn't those very companies be chomping at the bit to sell more of their products into California? Already in California, we import roughly 50% of the eggs that are consumed here. Why are they fighting Prop 2? It's because they know what we know at the Humane Society of the United States, that when Californians vote yes on Prop 2, they're going to send a strong message that will be heard nationwide that it's cruel and inhumane to cram animals into these tiny, filthy, unsafe cages for their whole lives, and we can do better. And this is one of the reasons that Prop 2 was recently endorsed by the San Diego Union-Tribune, nearly every Bay Area paper, who said that what Prop 2 is going to do is export a model for the healthy and humane treatment of farm animals.
What about the argument that this is going to kill off the family farm? That the factory farms can afford these larger cages, but it's the small farmers, the small egg producers, who are going to be really hurt by this, as well as the consumers.
The vast majority of small family farmers in California are unaffected by Prop 2 because they're already raising their animals in more humane systems. This measure is targeted at the very worst of the abuses, at the very egg factory farmers that Ms. Buckner represents and that are funding the No on 2 campaign and that, frankly, are trying to scare consumers not to trust their intuition.
There are a lot of exceptions on this proposition. That is scientific research and 4-H
That's
clubs
right.
and rodeos, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. Again, that speaks to the modesty of the measure. We're as disappointed as anyone that we have to pass a law to require basic humane treatment for animals. And we are giving these producers until 2015, fully 6 years. Most initiatives actually go into effect right away. We have specifically made the exemptions you're talking about and given these producers 6 years, recognizing that they're going to need time to transition. And their own economists, both an egg industry economist several years ago, and then buttressed by a recent UC report, have stated that it would cost less than a penny per egg to raise hens in an environment where they are not cruelly treated. That's why we should vote yes on Prop 2 good for animals and good for consumers and good for the farmers you're talking about.
Well, what about, again, back to the health issues and safety issues? Julie Buckner says the majority of science and history is on her side, not on yours.
That's just completely inaccurate. I would encourage your listeners to go to yesonprop2.com. We have an evidence-based analysis, a fully cited report that shows that Prop 2 is going to shift us to modern indoor cage-free systems and that this will provide a much safer environment for the animals and also for the food they produce.
Julie Buckner, let's have your response to some of the arguments we've heard from Jennifer Fearing, particularly, again, about the fact that this is, well, as she sees it, obviously not going to hurt egg producers.
Well, let me just take her last argument first. So this evidence-based analysis is absolute hogwash, to be candid. Their evidence-based analysis is based on the most remote science from all over the country. I mean, excuse me, from beyond the country in Europe. We also have a public health and food safety paper that's available on our website, noonprop2.com, and that paper is reviewed by none other than UC Davis food safety lab reviewers, very, very credible scientists with credentials, many, many years of research and history in California that are absolutely convinced that Proposition 2 is an unsafe food initiative, that it brings the risk of salmonella back to California, where it's been eradicated since the late 90s. Virtually no trace back of salmonella to California eggs since the California Egg Quality Assurance Program was adopted in the late 90s.
One should add here, though, I think that there have been a list of transgressions against various egg producers. I mean, investigations.
Sure,
and citations.
And that is, you know, there have, and those conditions are certainly deplorable. And you know, there are people who are bad operators, but the vast majority of California egg farmers are raising their animals in the cleanest, most humane, safest conditions possible. With respect to the argument about costing a penny per egg, that is just unfounded. It's based on very old research, not even in the egg industry, in the broiler industry for chickens that we eat, the meat of the chickens. And so that is comparing apples to oranges and oranges to apples. If you simply go into any local market and you look at the cost differential between, and this is from a consumer's perspective, you look at the cost differential between the traditional conventional egg, dozen eggs, and cage-free or free-range or pasture-raised eggs, they are more than $2 difference, if not more. I mean, they're as much as $4.99, $5.99 a dozen. And I just think for the vast majority of California working families, that is too much.
Michael?
Hold on a second, if you would, Jennifer, get a response from you, but I want to give out the phone number because I know there are many people who would like to join this conversation, and indeed, there's a phone number that you can avail yourself of and become part of the conversation here with questions or comments, or let us know how you feel about Prop 2. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786, and it is available to you. Again, it's toll-free, 866-733-6786, or you can send an email simply to forum@kqed.org. Jennifer Fearing.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I just wanted to respond by saying, you know, the prices that consumers see in the marketplace aren't driven by the underlying cost. Let's remember, multiple studies have demonstrated by their economists that we're talking about less than a penny per egg. So the only real cost-justified difference any of us should see in the marketplace would be around about a dime, 12 cents. Instead, when we see these much, much higher prices, what that's evidence of is significant profit-taking by producers who are taking advantage of customers who do recognize that animals deserve to stand up, turn around, and extend their limbs. And when we have more producers here in California bringing those products to market, then we should see those prices drop. And that's why Prop 2 has been enthusiastically endorsed by the Consumer Federation of America and the Center for Food Safety.
Could you address, since you mentioned food safety again, the UC Davis study that was alluded to by Ms. Buckner?
Sure. That was a study that it was at least reported by the Fresno Bee was funded by the opposition. I'm a UC Davis graduate. I was deeply concerned when I saw what looked to be a close association with a political campaign, and we've asked UC to give us a little more information about how that came to pass. But that study even clearly articulated that consumers will see little to no impact associated with passing Prop 2. which again reminds us that it's a modest reform giving animals simply the opportunity to stand up, turn around, and extend their limbs. And we should just trust our instincts.
Well, you were talking about endorsements before. The California Veterinary Medical Association
yes.
endorsed it, but said it ignores problems of animal welfare, did they not?
The California Veterinary Medical Association is unequivocal in its support of Prop 2, as are the nearly 700 individual California veterinarians up and down the state who support Prop 2. The CVMA went through a deliberative process where they looked at all the things that count for animal welfare and for from a veterinary perspective, and they came away supporting Prop 2. I think if you're listening now, it's very likely if you have a pet and you're seeing a veterinarian here in California, that veterinarian supports Prop 2 and would encourage you to support Prop 2.
Julie Buckner, let's talk about who's behind No on 2.
Sure, I'm happy to. And Jennifer just said everybody who owns a pet would have a supporter in Prop 2. I sincerely doubt that that's true, but here's what's really important about that. These animals that are being raised for food are not pets. They are not dogs. They are not kitties. They are not pets. They are farm animals that are raised and treated to produce food for people in California. So it is simply, you know, Jennifer's right. They did go through a very deliberative process, as I understand it, at CVMA, and it was extremely contentious because what you had is the people who deal with companion animals, the pet veterinarians, on one side, and the people who deal with food supply animals, livestock animals, feeling very, very strongly that this initiative is not only bad for the hens that lay the eggs that we consume, but it's actually sets a very bad precedent for livestock and food supply animals, not only here in California and across the country, which is why you have the American Veterinary Medical Association saying, in no uncertain terms, that the Proposition 2 is noble in its cause, it's well-intended, but that in fact it may do more to harm the hens than help the hens.
Well, we are going to go to a break here, but before we do, I want to give out the number again. It's toll-free, 866-733-6786, or you're welcome to send us an email, and the email address is forum@kqed.org. We're taking up Proposition 2, which will be on your November ballot, and if passed, it would prohibit the confinement of farm animals in a manner that doesn't allow them to turn around freely, lie down, stand up, and fully extend their limbs. Opponents say it would shut down the state's poultry industry and result essentially in unsafe food. We're talking with Jennifer Fearing, who is campaign manager for Yes on 2 campaign, and Julie Buckner, who is a spokeswoman for Californians for Safe Food, the No on Proposition 2 campaign. And when we return after a brief break, we're going to take your calls and emails. But we've got a few seconds left here. You want to mention who else is behind this initiative, at least behind Yes on 2, Jennifer Fearing?
Sure. Well, in addition to the California Veterinary Medical Association, the Center for Food Safety, the Consumer Federation of America, and the Humane Society of the United States. We're also very pleased that Prop 2 is endorsed by the Sierra Club, Clean Water Action, the United Farm Workers, the Union of Concerned Scientists, and state leaders like our state schools chief, Jack O'Connell.
And who's with you on this, Julie Buckner?
You know, people are with us, Michael. We are supported by numerous poultry scientists, animal welfare, food safety experts, public health experts, consumers, labor unions, including the Teamsters and the United Food and Commercial Workers and Unite, H-E-R-E, and numerous California family egg farmers, small, medium, and large, up and down the state of California, who will be wiped out by this initiative.
When we return, we'll find out what you, our listeners, have to say and ask. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about Proposition 2, which will be on the California state ballot, and we have both sides represented here. Julie Buckner is spokeswoman for Californians for Safe Food, No on Proposition 2. She's with us from Los Angeles. Jennifer Fearing, who's with us from Sacramento, is campaign manager for Yes on 2 campaign, and we're going to find out what our listeners have to say and what they have to ask. And we begin, Chancey, with you. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
My question is about the cages themselves and this idea that they can be larger, but that they also need to have a raised floor so that the feces is allowed to pass through. Why are those opposing ideas? Can't you have a larger cage in which the birds can move around and also be more sanitary?
Julie Buckner.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that. You know, theoretically, you could, and it's a great question, but as a practical matter, it's completely infeasible, I should say, and I'll tell you exactly why. You know, the current spacing requirements for hens are such that we can put these hens into cages. And by the way, let me just say very clearly for the record, these hens can stand up, turn around, and extend their limbs. They may not be able to extend their limbs without touching somebody else, another hen, but they are able to do those things. So this is just a completely false and claim by the other side that they cannot do this. Of course they can do it because they continue to thrive in these modern housing systems. But here's why. We could ostensibly put them in larger off-the-floor confinements, but, you know, space is a really significant issue. Land costs a lot of money in California, and raising animals for food is a very, very expensive endeavor. And so we would have to rebuild the entire infrastructure of all of these family farms and do so in a way that would cause them to need so much land in order to produce the number of eggs that we need here in California, safe, fresh, affordable eggs in California, that it would just be infeasible. I mean, land costs a lot of money, and capital improvements to anybody's property, including farmers, is extraordinarily expensive. And right now we have really hard economic times in California, and it's just not the right time to bring on this extreme new practice in farming.
Jennifer Fearing, let's hear from you.
I guess I'd respond by saying there's never been a better time to take a stand against the kinds of animal cruelty that frankly should have never been brought to our state in the first place. And I want to put this in perspective. Right now in California, more than 90% of the birds that are raised for chicken, turkey, and eggs are housed in cage-free systems, right, on the floor. That's how we're raising 250 million chickens for meat in California right now. And we are doing it, I presume, in a relatively safe manner. And those animals are given basic freedom of movement. All we're asking is that the other 10%, the 19 million egg-laying hens that are being kept crammed in these cages, be given the same opportunity.
What about what Ms. Buckner said as far as this being a false claim, that they actually can move their limbs, they just would be touching other hens, for example, that, in other words, the statements that there's no ability to move whatsoever are exaggerated.
Oh, we haven't said that they can't move whatsoever, but it is impossible for an egg-laying hen who has crammed 6 to 7 to a single cage. You know, under the industry standards, each hen gets less space than a letter-sized sheet of paper on which to live her entire life. It's impossible for these hens to engage in any basic natural behaviors such as perching, nesting, or any of their other instincts, and they certainly cannot extend their wings and be comfortable. And that's why people need to vote yes on Prop 2, so that by 2015, we can give animals this basic freedom of movement.
And we'll give our listeners some freedom to express themselves here. Steve, join us. Morning.
Hi, how's it going? This is Stephen Benicia. We have 5 laying hens. And in addition to consuming all of our kitchen waste and providing fertilizer, they give us eggs every day. And if you've ever seen a chicken run around and take a dust bath or chase a bug, it's unbelievable how cool these little animals are. And no, they're not pets, they're not cats, they're not dogs, as your other panelists so snidely said. But, you know, they're wonderful creatures, and, you know, they deserve a good run until they go on my dinner plate. All right, that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you for your statement. I don't think you were being snide, were you, Julie Buckner?
You know, I really don't think I was, although I can certainly appreciate that your listeners who raise chickens in their backyard, you know, feel that way about, you know, all of their animals. And, hey, listen, I was raised with horses, dogs, cats, you know, all sorts of animals, and when I grew up. But most of us don't have enough space to have chickens in our backyard, whether they dust themselves or chase bugs. We just, most of us go to the grocery store and buy eggs for our families. And, you know, my idea is this. You know, I'm a single working mom. I'm concerned about my children's food safety and their health first. And my idea is, you know, I'm going to put my children first. And to me, the chickens come second in the consideration in terms of food safety and our public health.
Michael, could I respond to that?
Jennifer Fearing, go ahead.
Thank you. You know, the reference to children is an important one. You know, we at the Humane Society of the United States, we do a lot of humane education and a lot of outreach to children. And frankly, I can't explain this cruelty to a child. You know, kids really get this intuitively. You know, yesterday I was at the farmer's market and a family stopped by to learn more about Prop 2. And when I explained it to them, this 8-year-old sort of, you know, scratched his head and looked at me and said, gosh, we would really need to pass a law to keep from treating animals this way? I don't understand that, and I can't explain it to him, you know. And the relevance to pets, you know, we all know that we would never, ever keep our pets in filthy, cramped cages for their whole lives. And what Prop 2 is about is ensuring that farm animals don't endure this misery either.
Let me go to more calls. TJ, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Hi, thanks for taking the call,
sure.
Comment and a question. The comment first was with respect to the idea that egg production jobs will be going out of state or even to Mexico or another country. I think one thing that needs to be factored in there is the cost for energy, transportation, and cooling to ship those eggs back into California. That's going to raise prices. That's going to make it easier for local farmers to continue to remain in production under these standards, I would think. And the other comment then is simply with respect to the industry representative, one thing that often seems to get talked about is a level playing field. And I'm wondering if the industry is willing to partner with the society here to ensure that this is like a international standard under NAFTA that gets implemented in Mexico and across the country.
Well, I think by industry representative, speaking about you, Julie Buckner, and you may want to comment on that to begin with, but to the question, if you would.
Sure. You know, let me say this. I'm a spokesperson for Californians for Safe Food, which is really a broad coalition of people, as I identified earlier. Certainly, it does include California egg farmers and, in fact, egg farmers across the country, but it also includes, as I said, California working families, labor unions, food safety experts, and public health experts. Let me speak to this idea of eggs coming in from out of state and over the border, perhaps even as far as Mexico and even beyond, really. We have a very global economy, and, you know, I think that most Californians really, really appreciate having safe, affordable, fresh California eggs to purchase in their markets. And the idea that we would be importing eggs from out of state, such as Iowa or Mexico, with eggs coming in on trucks, as you mentioned, with the energy that's required, and frankly, the carbon footprint of eggs being trucked in on cooled trucks from 2,000 miles away, sometimes taking as long as up to a week, 10 days, maybe longer, to get to our markets, is certainly an environmental impact that I think that we should all be aware of. We will not be producing eggs in California, and they will be coming from out of state, Iowa and Mexico.
I'm sorry, but you're saying that we won't be producing eggs in California because it'll be too expensive to do so. But what I'm saying is that because of the associated cost with bringing those eggs in from elsewhere, those prices will go up to a level where local producers will continue to be able to provide local eggs.
You know, I talk to these producers every single day, and that's just not their experience. I appreciate that that is your perspective, but that is just not their experience. These guys will tell you that they are going to be wiped out by this, and the cost to the consumer, it may be that the consumers will still be able to pay as much as they're currently paying, which some people may say is too much, but they're going to be paying the same amount for eggs that are trucked in from 2,000 miles away, where they are not nearly as fresh, not nearly as safe.
Jennifer, let me ask Jennifer Fearing, because she spoke before about how Prop 2 would help global warming, and certainly if we're going to get more eggs coming in from out of state or from out of country, we're going to have a bigger carbon footprint, as Julie Buckner says. And Jennifer Fearing, I'd like to hear your response to that.
Well, Michael, I mean, I have to challenge the premise. I mean, again, this out-of-state production comment, these egg farmers in California who've already seen their industry decline and erode over the last 20 years. This is an opportunity. That's what Prop 2 represents. It's an opportunity for California-grown eggs to mean something. I think most of us that live here in California have an expectation that the eggs and the other food that is produced here in California is environmentally friendly, is locally produced, and that does have an aspect of humane treatment to animals. So there is absolutely an opportunity here for California egg producers to shift towards the product that more and more Californians, more and more national consumers want, and retailers like Burger King, Safeway, and others who tell us when we work with them to encourage them in this direction that they would buy more eggs than they can even get from this industry, which frankly is just stuck in the status quo and needs a course correction. And that's what Prop 2 really presents.
Well, here are a couple of emails before I go to more of your calls. This is a listener who says, this proposition seems to be exactly the kind of thing that we pay legislators to resolve. It's ridiculous that voters are supposed to evaluate papers by dueling scientists. Really, what is the story with why this is a proposition and not a bill? Was it voted
down? I would love to answer that, Michael.
Yeah, I figured you would. Go ahead.
The Humane Society of the United States and other animal protection groups have spent 20 years.
Jennifer Fearing, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, spent 20 years with the California legislature attempting to pass these basic, modest reforms that give animals the opportunity to move. These popular reforms have been thwarted year in and year out by, you know, what will probably not surprise your listeners is an overly close relationship that exists between some of the legislators that represent these areas and the industry. So we had to reach out to more than 4,000 volunteers who fanned out across the state to put almost 800,000 signatures of California voters to put Prop 2 on the ballot. So we're with you, and we would, and whoever wrote that message in, we would have preferred a legislative solution as well. But this initiative process in California exists for exactly this kind of circumstance. So now we have an opportunity to vote yes on Prop 2.
Well, the listener is right, though. It does place an onus on the citizens to understand the
science. Only if
that's
you believe that the measure is more complicated than it really is, which is not.
Yeah, you
it
do
is
have
such a modest reform.
You do have dueling scientists, though. I think you'll concede.
And, Michael, this is Julie. I might jump into this conversation, I'd love it. Number one, this is really important for your listeners to hear. The Humane Society of the United States is a $200 million lobbying organization. Certainly, if they had tried to go to the California legislature, they would have been able to find somebody to carry this bill for them. They
did 20 years of trying failed.
May I finish, Jennifer? I haven't interrupted you at all today. Thank you. And the Humane Society of the United States is a very well-funded, very powerful lobbying organization. That is all, in fact, the Humane Society of the United States does, is lobby Washington and lobby local legislatures, state legislatures. So I find it hard to believe that they went. And if they did go to the California legislature, I would imagine that most legislators, just like most voters, are going to take a look at this thing and they're going to say, should we really be voting on egg-laying hens? So we have a lot of pressing issues in California. We've talked about them, gas prices, mortgage meltdown, incredibly high health care costs for families, grocery prices that are skyrocketing through the roof. And, you know, this initiative is about egg-laying hens, about whether they can, you know, take a dust bath or chase a bug, as one of your previous listeners so much said. And I just think that this is just not the pressing issue of the day.
But this is the issue that 800,000 California voters said they wanted an opportunity to vote yes on.
You know, I have been working in for 20 years. I'm a UC Berkeley graduate. I grew up in Southern California. I've lived in the Bay Area. I've lived in California all my life. For 20 years, I've been working on public policy in the state of California. And this initiative is the most narrow, the most extreme that I have ever been exposed to, because it really just doesn't deal with people. And what I'm concerned about as a public policy person in this state is people.
Of course, the animal welfare people say that this is indeed a modest proposal. And when you talk about calves and pigs, you're not talking about much in the way of California. It's mainly eggs. It's mainly hen-laying eggs.
This is really only about egg-laying hens, Michael. You're absolutely right. Although the Proposition 2 does address pigs, as Jennifer said, and cows, those and veal calves, Those farming practices are virtually eradicated in California. We just don't farm that way in California anymore. So this is an initiative that really just deals with egg-laying hens. And I think that the voters, California, are going to, you know, show up at the ballot box or fill out their ballots, you know, by vote by mail, and they're going to say, you know, this is an unsafe food initiative, and this just really isn't the right time for us to be concerned about egg-laying hens that really can stand up, turn around, and can extend their limbs in a safe, clean, sanitary housing system.
Well, here's another listener, Maria, who says, as a buyer of truly free-range eggs, I recognize that the higher price of those higher-quality eggs reflects the true social cost of egg production. Essentially, the price of those cheap eggs is an illusion. Ultimately, society pays for the hidden costs of mass egg production when we pay health care costs, environmental costs, etc., generated by that production. This is inefficient. It is much more efficient to just pay for higher quality, environmentally sound, and much more delicious eggs. Big agriculture's objection to addressing negative externalities mirrors Detroit's slow response to global warming. It's when big agriculture doesn't adapt to economic and scientific realities that those companies and societies suffers. That's my opinion.
Michael, I just like to comment that
Jennifer Fearing.
It's a shame to trivialize the cruel suffer and the suffering of animals that we're raising for food. These animals from whom we take everything. Are we so miserly that we cannot give these animals simply the room to stand up, turn around, and extend their limbs, which is what Prop 2 asks? You know, the mark of a humane society is how we treat the most vulnerable among us, and I think animals raised for food are quite simply the most vulnerable, and affording them the right to simple, basic movement is really the least we can do, and that's why voting yes on Prop 2 should make all voters and all consumers feel good.
I guess, Julia Buckner, when talk about making people feel good, it seems like when it comes to animal welfare, well, the field poll that was conducted back in July, after hearing a description of Proposition 2, 63% of likely California voters said they would vote yes, and 24% said no, although 13% were still undecided. That reflects, I think, to a large degree, the fact that many of these people are sympathetic with the humane treatment of animals.
Yes, and that same survey, which is quite outdated now, Michael, showed that only 18% of California voters had even heard of the initiative, and that was at a time when the initiative had a different ballot title. This initiative is about the standards for confining farm animals. This is not has nothing to do with the treatment or welfare of animals. It has simply to do with their space and their housing, which is just merely one component of animal welfare, care, and husbandry. I'd love to...
Why was the original ballot measure titled the California's Prevention of Farm Cruelty Act taken off the boards?
Because the Secretary of State of California and the Attorney General of California both decided that it was misleading and inaccurate to call a measure by a name that, in fact, it did not really address.
Was this a decision
by the Secretary of State?
Officers?
Yes, but neither
by the Secretary of State and by the Attorney General, who decides, by the way, on all ballot titles and summary of
in every response to threat of litigation, or was it in response to a threat of litigation from your group, Julie Buckner?
No, it was in response to a challenge on what the veracity of the ballot's title, that it just had, again, nothing to do with the treatment or welfare of animals and merely to do with the space and housing requirements.
I'm glad we got that on the record here.
It has to do with the confinement of animals, and it is the confinement, the extreme and cruel confinement that causes the suffering.
Well, let me get another caller on. Matt's been waiting patiently here from all the way from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks
Hi.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to make a comment and also pose a question to Mrs. Buckner. The first comment is just for your listeners and for everyone out there, there's a good documentary about food production called Our Daily Bread, which highlights definitely the hen-laying practices and farming practices in general. And then the question is to Mrs. Buckner, do you feel that this proposition is a good idea in the future, but just not right now? You've spoken several times to the economic issues and your, you know, problems with those. Just kind of curious, I guess, if you feel that now's not the time and that eventually it will be the time, or if this bill needs to be combined with other measures in terms of food safety.
It's a direct question. Julie Buckner.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer it. Thank you for your question. You know, I tend to believe what Jennifer believes, which is I believe in the innovation and the intelligence of California family farmers, and I believe that if the Humane Society of the United States and members of the legislature and the Humane Society and some and members of the farming community got together and decided communally and together that this is the direction that the industry is going to go, that that would have been quite possible and probably a lot less costly and a lot less contentious for folks to get together and decide, this is the way of the future. I tend to agree with Jennifer on that. I think this is a very, very poor measure, and I think that it really is not the appropriate place to decide these kind of farming practices and policies. The voters of California just really don't know very much about animal welfare or animal agriculture, and I think that this could have been done without putting it before the voters, and it would have been a heck of a lot less costly and less contentious.
Well, as long as the listener brings up the future, Jennifer Fearing, I assume that this would, from your perspective, you would hope not only that this would pass, but it would be incremental for, let's say, more expansive initiatives or legislation.
And as I pointed out earlier, I want to repeat that we have tried for 20 years to work with the legislature and with the industry on these reforms. You know, and the Humane Society of the United States doesn't just pursue public policy reforms, which we've been successful at in four other states on this measure. California is not leading the way here. We have had success in four other states with very similarly worded initiatives and had success. And in those cases, we have seen national reform cause, because we know what the egg producers who are fighting this know. This is not about California egg production. This is about national reform, where we put down a marker in the U.S. where we say we are not going to let animals raised for food suffer so intensely. It's not right. It's not good for us. And we are going to continue to pursue our consumer education campaigns, our continuing work with corporations. And
let me just remind listeners that you are listening to, excuse me, I just want to remind listeners that they're listening to Forum, and I've been talking with Jennifer Fearing and Julie Buckner about Proposition 2. This is Pledge Week for KQED Public Radio. We're going to have to break away briefly here, but for more information about how to support this radio station, simply go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. I'm sorry, I had to break there. Go ahead, Jennifer Fearing. Finish what you were saying, please.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, with respect to who the Humane Society of the U.S. is, that the support we get comes from the 10.5 million people around the country who support our work, with 1.3 million here in California. And we are involved in every manner of animal protection, including having an entire team of disaster responders who worked around the clock over the last 2 weeks to help stranded animal victims of Hurricane Ike. We are on watch at all times for animals in need and animals in crisis. And this is one facet of our work of which we're very proud, because, again, we believe all animals, including those raised for food, deserve humane treatment.
We bring in more of our callers here. Gary, thanks for waiting. You're on. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Hey, I can't speak for the bill because I haven't read it, but I can say that the forecasts of gloom and doom sound much like those that we heard in California when they banned smoking in theaters. The forecast where nobody was going to go to movies anymore, and then they banned it on airplanes, and nobody was going to fly, and then they banned it in restaurants and bars, and it was supposed to close restaurants and close bars. And
boy, it sounds like Chicken Little. I'm sorry to bring that reference in here, but
Californians are very adaptable, and we do adapt to things, and I think we'll adapt quite finely to this measure if it passes.
Okay, we'll let that stand, and we'll get more callers on. We'll go, in fact, to another Sacramento caller, Debbie or Delcy. Good morning.
Hi there, good morning. I just wanted to second what the last caller said, and I think that you had an email from Maria who put it really succinctly. I'm here in my car. I've pulled over, but I probably won't be as cogent. But I come from working with, my background is, I worked in for over 10 years in the socially responsible investment industry, trying to partner with businesses on social and environmental issues of concern to stakeholders. And almost always the company said, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that, it'll put us out of business. And just as Maria put it, the auto industry in America resisted forever putting improving the CAFE standards, because the argument we were given all through the 90s was that it would make them, that they wouldn't be able to be competitive in China, and now they're not competitive in China because, as Al Gore stated in his film Inconvenient Truth, they have inadequate fuel efficiency standards. So I think it's really important to not let the, again, another bad metaphor, but let the fox guard the hen house here and make sure that what we, when we institute social and environmental practices, we don't trust necessarily people who make a profit by not implementing those social and environmental standards.
Well, Julie Buckner, last couple of calls have raised some concerns that I'm sure you've heard that maybe this is, how shall I put it, over-exaggerated in terms of what might befall consumers, but also that there's too much of a profit motive involved here as far as the egg industry is concerned.
You know, that's just not founded. Let me say this, and I know we're coming to a close here. Jennifer spoke about the success in other states that the Humane Society of the United States has had, and let me share with you why they've been so successful in promulgating ballot measures. They have spent millions of dollars, unchallenged mostly by the other side. They spent millions of dollars in states like Arizona and Florida, and running political campaigns. And here, and Jennifer's right, they do have many, many members. And these members are sending in money to what they believe is a nonprofit charitable institution whose mission is to help companion animals and not farm animals. And these millions of dollars are being spent on political campaigns by the Humane Society of the United States with a clear agenda. And, they have poured millions of dollars into California to bring this initiative into fruition. And I just, this notion that this is, you know, this is a grassroots organization is just completely false. Part of the reason they've been so successful is they've just raised millions of dollars of people who believe they're contributing in small numbers all over the country to a non-profitable charitable organization, not a political machine.
Well, we started with Jennifer Fearing. We're going to end with you, Julie Buckner. You'll have the last word here, but I want to extend thanks to both of you for a spirited and, I think, important debate on what is presently the most heavily spent campaign issue on the ballot in November. Jennifer Fearing, again, is campaign manager for Yes on 2, and Julie Buckner is spokeswoman for Californians for Safe Food, No on Proposition 2. And we have another hour of forum coming your way. We're going to talk about transplantation in the hour ahead and organ donors and all that. I want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell, our engineer, Danny Bringer. I'm Michael Crest.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.